News of Ibrahim Rasool's, Ambassador Ibrahim Rasool's departure from the United States is known to every household. But it continues, in my view, to be completely misreported. And here I lay the blame at the door of a number of media houses who are not reading the fine print, sometimes even the original statement that was made. Where it all happened, there was a webinar at the Mapungubwe Institute for Strategic Reflection, or MISTRA, a long word to say during Ramadan. And online is Naeem Jinnah, senior researcher at MISTRA. Naeem, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Haven't spoken to you in a long time, Shafiq.
Certainly, as I say in the classics, a long time in between drinks, but probably a very inappropriate metaphor for Ramadan, but we didn't say that. let's sort of get a bit more serious. When MISTRA originally hosted that webinar, and it was an academic one, and it was a very lively one if one looks back on it, did you think that it would have the fallout that it is currently experiencing today?
You know, think tanks don't usually have events expecting to have this kind of a fallout. I mean, we now have people calling me, for example, and saying, oh, because of you, Ibrahim Rasool got expelled from the U.S. No, we didn't. I mean, when we decided on this webinar, the concept was to have a webinar that will highlight for our audience, which is largely a South African audience, will highlight what the new Trump administration, 50 days after being in office, what it will mean for the next 4 years for the African continent and particularly for South Africa. We had 5 speakers on the panel. 3 of the speakers, for example, one spoke about the impact on the economy, one spoke on the impact on health, another spoke on the impact on agriculture. And the keynote speaker, we toyed with different options and settled on a South African who lives in Washington, D.C., who's spent 4 years there before, and so understands South African concerns and understands the dynamics in the U.S. And that was our ambassador, the Ibrahim Rasool. We didn't expect what followed that would follow.
What I find really fascinating in this saga, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but there certainly seems to be in some kind of conspiracy here, because before the Ambassador Rasool left for the U.S., he gave us an interview on Voice of the Cape where some of the statements he made were very similar to the ones made at MISTRA, but there was no fluff and no hullabaloo and nothing happened. He says almost the same things at MISTRA and all hell breaks loose. But I'm just going to read something that concerns you before my next question, because this kind of points out to what we're up against. Joel Pollack, who wrote that article in Breitbart and who seems to be the brains behind what happened to Ambassador Rasool, says about you, when you did an interview with News Africa, I think this gentleman, Naeem Jinnah, tries to call me a racist while his cat's butt keeps bombing the interview. I mean, this is a guy who thinks he is going to be an ambassador. I rest my case in terms of who's being more ambassadorial. Would you agree with my perception on that one, although you're stuck in the middle?
Well, no, I'm not stuck in the middle. I mean, if the guy wants to compare his face to my cat's butt, it's, you know, I'm sure my cat is quite happy with that, and then so am I. I don't have a problem.
But, right.
But this is the guy who, in the first Trump presidency 8 years ago, was campaigning to become ambassador to South Africa. I mean, this is very unlike the way things work, but very publicly campaigning. He didn't get it. It went to the bag lady. And now again he's campaigning. And so this, we should see his article as part of that campaign. Now, Breitbart, in which he, the website in which he wrote the article and of which he's an editor, is one of the most right-wing websites in the U.S. he extracted a paragraph from what Ibrahim said and made a whole article about that. And it was on the basis of that article that Secretary of State Marco Rubio decided to declare the ambassador persona non grata. Marco Rubio clearly hadn't watched the webinar. Now, let me just say that, you know, in that two-hour webinar, Ibrahim Rasool gave a speech at the beginning, and then he responded to questions later where he made the white supremacy comment. But his speech was very much along the lines of South Africans mustn't panic, we must deal with this diplomatically, South Africa must not be antagonistic to the United States. The U.S. is extremely important to South Africa, including economically and in many other ways. We must be a partner with the U.S. We must deal with these things through our embassy and through diplomacy, etc. That was his tone, and those were the exact things that he was saying. And then Joel Pollack decided that the most important thing of all of that was this particular paragraph. It's still part of his campaign to become ambassador. I think that now that the U.S. has expelled our ambassador, perhaps that gives us a little bit of leverage, whether the government decides to use that leverage or not. You give us a bit of leverage to turn down receiving someone like Joel Pollack if he's appointed. That's if he's appointed. I'm not sure that he is actually in the inner, in the Trump inner circle as he seems to think he is.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because I've read other commentators saying that Joel Pollack actually shot himself in the foot. I have no idea whether he did it like that or not, but you know, as you say correctly, we will see going forward. But to try and sort of zoom out on what we're discussing. I mean, at the time, Ibrahim Rasool seemed to be the perfect fit to go to Washington, and I still think that he could have made quite a difference. But it does seem now, as if in hindsight, that the South African government are now in a bit of a quandary. Who do they appoint as the next ambassador because of the noise and the storm that's been made right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with an administration like Trump's, it's hard to say whether someone would be a right fit or not. And Ibrahim Rasool, by most accounts, was a very good ambassador when he was in Washington, D.C. the last time. But he was a very good ambassador when the president was Obama and an Obama administration. So is that, you know, would that make him a good fit now? It is another question. As to the question of who now, apparently, I'm not on them, but apparently all the ANC WhatsApp groups are, you know, throwing names out and having big debates about this. And there are many suggestions that have come forth. It seems to me that most of them are of white men. So, for example, Andries Nel, I don't think we should hold his whiteness or his maleness against him.
Of course.
Is one of the suggestions. Derek Hanekom has also been suggested. But there's also others that have been proposed who are not white and not men. Pumzile Mlango Nuka, for example. So I don't know. I mean, I think that the president has a lot of things to weigh, and maybe he'll take his time and let things settle a bit before he decides. I mean, Ibrahim Rasool also made the point in that webinar that it's very difficult for the embassy to engage officials in the administration, because right now you don't know who the right officials are. The Africa desk is and in the State Department is a bit of a mess. Numerous officials have been fired. So, you know, you can only start making an impact once you know what the address is that you should address your issues to. So perhaps the president might wait for that to happen, you know, the next few months before an ambassador is appointed. I don't know. Unfortunately, I'm not in our president's inner circle.
All right. Something that I did find interesting is that, like, I did a bit of surfing through the internet. I almost used the word trolling, which is the wrong word. And I noticed that in the U.S., that there were a lot of voices in the U.S. expressing their dismay at what happened to Ibrahim Rasool in terms of him being expelled. So do you think that we cannot ignore the voices in the United States who are trying to call for reason behind all the noise that we're seeing at the moment?
On the one hand, I think that, those voices are correct, and not correct because this is a South African ambassador, but, you know, their perspective, I think, is more about the mess that the administration is in and is creating. And they're concerned as Americans that you have such an unprofessional administration. I mean, unprofessional because, you know, although the Vienna Conventions allow the host country, Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations allows the host country to declare any diplomat persona non grata for any reason whatsoever, basically. The practice has been that that kind of a measure is limited to, for example, a diplomat, much less an ambassador, but a diplomat who's involved with spying on the host country or espionage or drug smuggling or gun trafficking, for example. You know, those are really serious issues. If there's suspicion of that, then you get rid of the guy and you say, you know, to the sending country, take him back or her back. But in a case like this, even if it is correct that Ibrahim Rasool insulted the president, and I'm not saying it is, but even if it is, you know, the procedure would be you send a demarche to the embassy, you call in the ambassador and give him a dressing down. If that doesn't work, then the two foreign ministers have a chat, and the host country say, you know, this guy's really not working out, please take him or her back quietly and send someone, you know, all of those kinds of things before PNG. So I can understand that people in the U.S., you know, especially or including professional diplomats, would be very concerned at how this was done and what it means for the United States moving forward. But the reality is that, number one, Trump won the popular vote in the U.S. The majority of Americans, might be a slim majority, but the majority of Americans in this election supported him and voted for him. Secondly, that the opposition is, parts of the opposition are just dysfunctional. The parliamentary opposition, the Democratic Party, is like you don't even know whether they exist anymore. Other parts of the opposition are just unsure how to pick up the pieces and move forward. So I don't know that this, you know, it might have given them an opportunity for something to rally around. I don't think they've done that well enough.
Indeed, I think we just have to basically wait and see what happens in this never-ending saga. Naeem Jinnah, Senior Researcher at Mistra, thanks for joining us on Newsbeat.
Assalamu alaikum.